Well, thank you, Bill. And happy Sabbath, brethren. That was good. You guys are learning. We won't do it again. That's fine. I keep you guys on your feet. Happy Sabbath, brethren. I'm very honored and blessed to be up here. And we'll kind of just jump right in. I think I'm happy with my message, and I'm honored to give it to you. As I like to do, kind of give you the process. So I originally wanted to kind of speak about Deuteronomy and the laws that is given to Israel in a structural sense of, how that might be applied to our personal lives. But that's not where God led me. So let me give you the message, or the title is called From Preparation to Pentecost. And we'll have three headings or subheadings that as we go through my message today. So the first one will be the law. Second will be titled preparation. And then third is blessing and fulfillment. As we're about 2 weeks away from Passover and the giving of God's Spirit, I believe the sanctuary of God's Spirit and judgment provides us relief, because Christ is the fulfillment of God's laws. And with God's down payment of his Spirit, we can use his laws in our walk on earth. So first, the law. As we know, Deuteronomy lays out the holy days. And in Deuteronomy 1, 29 through 31, this will probably be the only scripture I'll ask you guys to turn to. I'll give you the rest. But that's going to be Deuteronomy 1, 29 through 31. So in verse 29, it says, "Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, and as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you come to this place." So here, Moses is recalling Israel's journey through the desert. And I'll get to this later, but this kind of sets up what I want to talk about. And then Deuteronomy 4 through 7, or sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 is, again, this is the law pointing to what's coming. It says, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him?" So as we'll get to, and obviously with Pentecost coming, it's pointing to the giving of God's Spirit. And we have a personal God that wants to be near us. He's not looming and threatening. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. Christ was, in pre-incarnate, he was formless to us. He then came in human form to be with us and give us a perfect example. And now as Pentecost approaches, we have access to him in spirit or in a formless form, but he dwells inside of us with us as his mobile temple. And then moving just a few verses from Deuteronomy 4, we'll jump down to verse 37. So that's Deuteronomy 4, verse 37. "And because he loved your fathers and chose their offspring after them and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence by his great power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in to give you their land for an inheritance." And this is what I believe part of, giving of the Spirit is, it's this down payment of our promised land that we get to go and be with Christ. So here our inheritance is foretold. It's not just a salvation, but that we get to become brothers and sisters with Christ. And then here in Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8, Joshua is commissioned. And this is... let me read it to you first. "So then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, 'In the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land, and the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them. You shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.'" And this makes me think of John 14. He tells you, "I will not leave you alone. I'll give you a helper." So again, here Deuteronomy is pointing to all these, you know, prophetic events and that we ultimately get to partake of. Israel was about to cross the Jordan over into Canaan. And here we see the symbolism to Pentecost, in my opinion, a baptism and a receiving of Christ's Spirit. Just like God's holy kingdom is promised to us, Canaan was promised to Israel. But the law can only take us so far. It cannot bring salvation, and there's a changing of the guard with the commissioning of Joshua. Both literally and figuratively, God commanded Moses to commission Joshua to lead his people into the promised land, just like Christ was an example for our promise of what is promised to us. Second heading, a preparation. The number 40 is kind of deals with preparation or endurance. Moses spent 40 days on the Mount Sinai. Elijah spent 40 days traveling to Mount Horeb. And of course, Moses and Israel spent 40 years in the desert before crossing over to the promised land. And now we have Pentecost coming. We have a 40 plus a 10. So in Acts 1 and, chapter 1, verse 12. Again, that's Acts 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. I think this is really cool that we just celebrated Passover about 40 days ago. And now, right before the giving of the Holy Spirit, they're back in that same room. So Christ returns after his resurrection and ascension to the same room where the Passover meal was taken. And now he's going to give us a down payment of his Holy Spirit. And then to just jump back in a short time in this period of preparation, I like Christ's appearance to Thomas as a lesson as we go through, you know, if we're in a season of preparation. Thomas had faith because he saw the marks on Christ's hands. But here in John 20, verses 29, Christ tells Thomas and ultimately us, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So during our period of preparation, we might lose faith, we might be disappointed, we might believe we all have our own shortcomings, but now we have Christ's Spirit, and we should not let our faith be so dependent on our surrounding or circumstances. And what does that faith bring us to? Our third heading, a blessing and fulfillment. So with Christ as the first fruit, he gives us an opportunity to show the fulfillment of God's plan. Through Christ's perfect fulfillment, we, despite our imperfections, get to show the world how the Spirit works in our lives. And then John says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, that's 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, he says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So it's right, it's not that I'm perfect, it's despite my imperfections that we attempt to keep the commandments. It's, you know, not for lack of burden or struggle that we get to mirror or exemplify Christ. It is, in fact, despite that through Christ's Spirit, we can choose to endure and be a light to this world. In kind of hearkening back to the Passover in Luke 22:15, where Christ says, "I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer," he knew that we could and would join him and become his family. I still don't think I can fully understand the sacrifice, and maybe that's just something that, you know, we will learn upon our resurrection, that Christ was willing to go through all he did to pay that price for us. And just as we have faith in Christ unseen, I like to think that Christ has faith in us for us that he has not seen. So now, brethren, we are God's family with Christ. This is reiterated in Romans 8:14. That's Romans 8, verse 14. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So not only does Christ complete salvation with his death and resurrection, but we now as the first fruits who have committed our lives to Christ, we get a deposit, a down payment of Christ's Spirit as we continue this work, continue our walk on earth. So a little bit of encouragement as we move to conclusion. So finally, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, says, do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So we can be strong and courageous as we go forward into the world as Christ commanded his disciples, just as we are commanded to go to the world and be a light. In summary, brethren, our 3 points. The law guides us and points us to Pentecost and helps us in our discernment. Number 2, there is a preparation before a blessing. And number 3, Christ's Spirit gives us the strength and we get to join his family and be called brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath, brethren.